Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat it, when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Thanks, Pete. And over to you.
Well, thank God that everything's working again. It would be good to just pray and just ask God to speak to us. Lord, thank you that we can gather together in this different type of service, but know that your presence is with us. And we just put behind us the technical stuff from earlier on, and we just want to focus on your word and focus on you and the goodness of you, Lord. Amen. So when I looked at this passage, I thought, it's so hard. But going back to chapter 2, I mean, I'm just trying to get our heads around, human beings are enjoying this remarkable existence in close relationship with God and with each other. They've got purpose, they've got work, there's no sickness, they're just enjoying nature. And then they're in relationship every minute, every day with God. And then, as Sheila said, if you want to look at the words in the Bible in chapter 3. And I just thought I'd pick up on two things in the book, The God Story, which we are following through on Sundays and also on Tuesday evenings. The two headings that I picked out really are: the effect of the fall distorted who God is, and it distorted who we are. So just briefly, as I look at a few bits in this passage, just focusing firstly on verse 3. Did God really say? And it reminded me of times when things have been difficult, there's been challenges. I remember moving, we were going to move house from Hall Green, and we were going to move down to Surrey, and we were going to do work with a youth ministry in Surrey, and we could not sell our house, and we were renting it out to a Christian Iranian family, and they wanted to buy our house, and they were actually they'd been refugees. I was like, well, we'd love you to buy a house, but that's not going to happen. We didn't want to tell them. And then one day, this was many years ago, they found a little package in the porch, and in that package was £6,500 in cash with a note from your Heavenly Father for the house. It shows how long ago it was. That was 10% deposit, that £6,500. It was there. But we were like, did God really say to us we should move to Surrey? What about us, God? Did you really say? You did say we should move to Surrey. And we, I guess we had our doubts. You know, like, should we? Is God faithful? As it turned out, Mandy's just pointing at herself, saying it's actually her who was having his rant with God, but I was being kind to not say that. But we were both like, what are you going, what's going on? Did you really say? We doubted God's faithfulness. Now, what we didn't know, what was going to happen, well, we did move to Surrey. We had to rent a house, and because we had to rent a house, we paid a bit more. But when we bought the house, it meant that we could prove that we could afford the rent. It all worked out. And we were like, oh, I see. Why did we doubt you, God? As one does sometimes. Why do things happen? Distorting who we are. Verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord. I sort of wonder, what did that... They heard God. Did they hear sort of rustling in the grass? What did that look like? Just got me thinking about that, really. But the Lord God called to the man. God pursued them. He was like, where are you? It must have been very... It's like, where are you? Normally, you know, we have a bit of a chat this time of the day. Where are you? God's wondering where they are. And then guilt, shame, and fear enter the world. There's a difference between guilt and shame. I once read, guilt, I have done something bad. I should feel guilty. Shame, I am bad. There's a big difference, isn't it? And in verse 10, God says, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Adam, sorry, he answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And God says in verse 11, who told you that you were naked? And then it was, have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat? And then the consequences of our actions comes in. There's always consequences, aren't there, to our actions. We think about some of the things, some of the suffering we see in the world, some of the climate change, and we see actually, do you know, some of this is the consequences of our greed, consequences of us not looking after the world. When I was preparing this, I read a couple of quotes. I think one was from William Barclay's commentary. I can't remember. The other was from somewhere else. And they go like this. Despite God's pursuit of us, generation after generation will walk further and further away from him. How sad that must make God. And the other one is, the complete reversal of the original blessing mandate, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, began to take place. Sin, rather than blessing, multiplies. So we begin to see the consequences of our actions as we look at the fall. Now, just a slight break. On your tables, you will find some Lego. I want you to try and build something that describes the impact of that original decision that Adam and Eve made, the consequences. What has that done to our relationship with God? So you have some little people models, and you have some Lego, And if you are really creative, there is a big box of Lego at the back that you can go to for further bits. But I think we'll be here till 1 o'clock if you do that. So see what you can do with what you've got.
But the thought of an elephant in the room came into my head. So I attempted to make an elephant in a room. I'm just grabbing this from here. I do need an extra. I need my elephant to stand up. Here's a person in a room. Elephant. I tried to make an elephant. I spent an hour making an elephant. Mandy goes, do you want a hand making an elephant? And she did that in about 5 minutes. Incredible.
Well, the elephant in the room,
I feel, is we trying to get to God by our own efforts, and there's this, we can't quite do it because there's an elephant in the room. There is sin, there's suffering, there's all of those things. You know what it's like when there's an elephant in the room. There's something that you don't talk about, and it creates a barrier. I'm working with a student at the moment, and they have a boyfriend, and they haven't told their boyfriend something, and it's creating a barrier, and it's creating sadness, and it's creating a blockage in their relationship, and it's not good. But the story continues. We're going to look further ahead in Genesis, just to one verse. There is. So we have this blame game. What verse is it where Adam and Eve have that conversation? It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Verse 12. Yeah, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Yeah, all of that. I remember we used to run a project. We didn't run a project. We were involved with a project called St. Basil's in Birmingham. We took homeless teenagers in. And one of the ongoing things was smoking in the house. We wouldn't have smoking in the house, wouldn't let them smoke in the house. And we had a girl stay with us, and we found a cigarette butt in the toilet. And we said, were you smoking? No, I wasn't smoking. I had been smoking outside, but I didn't want to throw my cigarette butt on the ground because it would be littering. So I put it in my pocket and then I put it down the toilet. And we're like, yes, of course you did. Yes. Yeah, I don't think you did. Elaborate stories. I mean, if you look in the Bible, you'll find lots of elaborate stories. But just as I come to the end of what I wanted to say, really, just in verse 15, we have got a glimmer of hope, this elephant in the room, a hint at what is to come. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And I'm thinking, what on earth is that about? But we know that future time, that Jesus is coming and he's going to put an end to that that problem of us not being able to be in relationship with God. Because of the goodness of God, we are able to be in relationship with him. So for my just conclusion, really, just a challenge for us: are there people in our lives where the relationship isn't great? Sometimes we can't do anything about that. But are there people where there are things we could do to help to restore that relationship? Maybe you can't. Maybe you're powerless. And maybe there's a need where you need to forgive. And that begins with an act of the will and asking God for his help. Not necessarily a reconciliation. And then this morning, just before I came out, I was just caught by that verse, that part where it says, where are you? And we know that we have a God who is asking that. Where are you? I want to be in relationship with you. I want to have that relationship. I don't want an elephant in the room. I want us to come together, God says, and
be in a good relationship where you can tell me anything and I will forgive and restore you to that relationship that I need. So that's really all I want to say. I'm just going to hand back to Sheila.